To order. Welcome, everyone. We have five items on the agenda, and we'll start by going to the Board of School Administrators and welcome Professor Kramer. And as an appointee, we do have your resume. We want to thank you for appearing, and if you could give us a statement of your background, interest in serving, and then we'll open for any questions.
Okay. I am being reappointed to the board after a two-year appointment, and I am currently the associate.
For the record, Professor,
yes.
Could you state your name?
Sorry, my name is Bruce Kramer. I'm an associate dean in the School of Education at the University of St. Thomas, and the position that I have been appointed for is the administrative position for higher education on the Board of School Administrators. I've been serving on the board for about 2 years prior to this particular year, and my interests are in accountability, rule change, and in basically trying to serve the board as best I can as we work with administrative licensure in the state of Minnesota.
Excellent. Thank you for the background. Questions from the committee. Senator Rummel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Dr. Kramer, welcome to our table.
Thank you.
For those of you who don't know, Dr. Kramer was one of my professors at the university when I was doing my doctorate. Tremendous, tremendous contribution to that faculty there. Tell us a little bit about your interest in accountability, since part of the work of this committee has been on accountability this last year.
My current position at the University of St. Thomas, to which I was appointed a year ago, is to move us through the accreditation process, as part of my position in that, I've been developing systems for the School of Education that help us to monitor, are we really doing what we think we're doing or what we say we're doing? I'm quite interested in that part of it, and I'm not just talking about the numbers part, but and I see that as being very important. We've developed some really nice quantitative evaluations, but also whether or not we're getting to the larger issues of what makes a good teacher, are we able to capture or to get in the way if we need to, those things that help us to counsel our students who are going to go out into the profession. And I've really, frankly, been trying to bring that to my work on the board. Currently, if I am approved by the Senate, we're working on revising our protocols for program reviews. Those need to be revised. They've been a little they're a little long in the tooth, and they need some revision. So I've been trying to bring a broader sense of that to the questions of accountability than just the quantifying.
Thank you, Dr. Kramer.
Thank you. Further questions? Not Senator Rummel. Would you like to make a motion?
I would like to move Dr. Kramer's appointment or reappointment to the board.
On that motion. Further discussion? Not. All in favor indicate aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Kramer. We'll go next to the Purpich Center for the Arts, and I don't believe any of the nominees were able to attend, Dr. Davis is here again. But if Dr. Davis, if you'd like to approach. And welcome back. We had extended an invitation, and the first time, and no one was able to be here, and apparently the second time, none of the nominees are able to as well.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, I regret they are not, but I am ready to answer any questions that any of you have about them.
Okay, Senator Olsen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This goes back to the people I think we appointed last year. I remember there was such interesting diversity amongst some of the people. I was interested in, why some of them might have even wanted this position. But could you maybe give us an update on how their performance has been?
So you're Senator Olsen, you're asking about committee members that you appointed prior to this group. I think if I recall, you asked a question about their backgrounds. They were varied. We have two members, I think, who had extensive backgrounds in the military, Navy. I found that question to be actually appreciated, and I'm glad you're asking it now, because I'm someone steeped in the arts who's also a great sports fan and comes from a science background. One of these board members, Alex Plekish, has a distinguished Navy background and just was asking and inviting me to watch the PBS series that's been going on about aircraft carrier life. And I love the moment where they talked about how coordinated everybody is and how it's really like a big ballet. So I think that we have board membership that is very solid. I feel very good about the kind of stewardship that the Perpich Board has. People have a lot of expertise in management with an affinity to the arts and understanding their roles as board members. And if anything, we are strengthened by diversity of background, diversity of partisanship, and it's a question of the board really learning to function very well as a board unit, as is the case with any government agency or nonprofit organization.
Yeah. Sarah Lynch.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would just like to comment on the appointment of Barya Mario that's before us today. And this is a constituent from my district who is a woman who has been a very strong component of the arts in southern Minnesota, and I think will be a real asset to the board of the Perpich Center. And so I'm pleased to be able to support that appointment today, along with the others.
Sarah Lynch, would you like to make that motion?
I would, Mr. Chair. I will move the appointment of four appointees to the board for the Perpich Center for Arts Education.
On that motion, further discussion? We'll note for the record, the committee has had a site visit out there. We actually have other opportunities as well for input, and we've done our due diligence. And
yes, you have.
We thank you for reappearing. Further discussion? If not, all in favor indicate aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Dr. Davis.
Thank you, Chair Wicker.
We're going to take the board of teaching soon, but I want to make sure Senator Olson is here for that. And I'm going to go next to Senator Saltzman, who has Senate File 3316. And Senator Saltzman, you could present it right here. This is not an unfamiliar proposal, but it's being advanced procedurally. Senator Saltzman?
Yes, this was a bill that we heard, and it was brought to us by school districts. It was to deal with the fact that when a teacher is on leave to teach at a charter school, that they needed to give notice regarding when they plan to return, which at a similar date to other school districts, to the other teachers in their district. And there has been some work done on this to make sure that everybody understands that the dates are correct. I believe that when we heard this earlier, that the language is in on the policy bill.
Yes.
The dates that are have been agreed upon.
Senator Saltzman moves that Senate File 3316 be recommended pass and referred to the floor. Discussion. Senator Bonoff.
Mr. Chair and Senator Saltzman, I'm just curious why, because we had heard it and it is part of the policy bill, we're taking it in this committee now.
Well, it's important, I think, to have this bill heard before the Senate. We'd like to move it forward to the floor.
Okay, Senator Stump.
No, that's fine.
Okay, further discussion? Not all in favor, indicate aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thanks, Senator Saltzman. Next, we'll go to the Board of Teaching, and welcome back. We'll ask, I believe we have three of the nominees. Janet Schultz, and Janet, please approach and state your name. And we do have a packet with your background, but if you could highlight that again for us, and then we'll open for any questions.
Sure. Good
afternoon. Welcome.
Yep. Thank you, Mr. Chair and Senators. My name is Janet Schultz. There is actually no L in my last name. It's a common mistake.
Okay.
I am representing the school boards on the Board of Teaching, and this is a reappointment for me. I've already served 4 years. Prior to this, I served 7 years on the Wayzata School Board. Loved my experience there. And sit now on the Executive Committee at the State Board of Teaching. And so my perspective is not from a classroom teacher, but from more of the management, employer, administrative end, and the community perspective, being a mom of three kids who successfully went through all the white set of schools. So I'd just actually like to ask for your questions or comments.
Thank you. Questions? Senator Bonhoff.
Mr. Chair and Ms. Schultz, I just wanted to tell you that I know of your work in the Wayzata School District, being a senator representing that school district, and so I'm proud to support your appointment.
Thank you.
Before we entertain that motion from Senator Bonhoff, any questions, Senator Olson?
Mr. Chairman, I'd be happy to defer to Senator Bonhoff, but Mrs. Schultz happens to be my constituent. And know also of her work, but I join you in that support. So
thank you.
Appreciate the work she's done on the Board of Teaching as well.
And thank you, and I do appreciate both of your work and Senator Hand. They're all in my neck of the woods. We've had a close relationship with you and the school districts throughout the years, and we really do appreciate that.
Senators Olson, Bonhoff, and Hand move.
No, sorry.
And Olsen. Senator Olsen.
Yeah, because I'm on the far opposite side of the state. No. I have a question in regards to Senator Saltzman and Senator Olsen had a subcommittee this summer looking at literacy. And a lot of discussions have come up about our teachers coming out of with their college degree maybe not having the tools needed to teach. If your thoughts on that.
Right. My thought is we can always do better for whatever tools they have now. I think we can always improve. Reading is really important. I referenced earlier my three children, and I think it was very important that their success now as adults because they came from a reading family. So I really strongly support whatever we can do to help our teachers be teachers of reading. You've probably heard that we are putting into place some new licensures where for their more of a licensure for beginning teachers and then a master's level and then the teacher of teachers. So we're putting into three different licensures. So we really, I in particular, do want to support their work and their thought process. We try to not have so much forced, but more cooperative. So we'll try to. I think we've been working with you to get a bill and have heard your senses of what you want to accomplish. So again, I think we can always do better, and we're working towards that on reading.
Okay, further questions, comments? Senator Bonhoff, would you like to restate your motion? With
Thank
Senators
Mr.
Olson
Chair.
And
Mr. Chair Poynter, do you want me to move all three?
We'll vote Ms. Schultz.
Okay. I move that we appoint Ms. Janet Schultz to the
Schultz.
That's okay.
I'm just spelled on here.
Yeah, thank you. To the Board of Teaching.
Okay, further discussion? Not all in favor, indicate aye.
Aye.
Carried. Thank you for your service. And I want to just go back on the Board of School Administrators. We did interview two appointees on February 20, Mary McBee and Diane Rauschenfels. And I would entertain a motion for their appointment at this point, absent any further concerns. Senator Lynch, so moves. On that motion, Senator Olsen.
I see that down below there's that Daniel Sullivan. Would that be appropriate to include in that?
What's the committee's pleasure?
Let's do it.
Is he here?
Okay. Senator Lynch will amend her motion to include Daniel Sullivan on a friendly amendment. On that motion, further discussion? If not, all in favor indicate aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Next to the Board of Teaching, Patricia DeJarlis.
DeJarlis, yes.
And welcome.
Thank you.
Senator Weiger, if I may just approach the table here, I do have a resume and made enough copies. I don't know if that'll
thank you. Yes, we'll have those distributed.
Explain a little bit more who I am.
Okay.
I think we already have it.
We have your application,
thank
but okay. And then please state your name for the record and proceed.
I'm Patricia DeJarlis, and currently I teach middle school mathematics in Minneapolis Public Schools. I've been with Minneapolis Public Schools since 2000 in a variety of positions in the school teaching middle school mathematics as well as the district office. However, as once you get my resume, you'll see there, I actually started my career, my teaching career, in the state of Texas and moved back to Minnesota where I'm originally from.
Thank you.
I don't know if you want a minute or two to look that over, if there's questions.
How about a pitch as to why you want to be on the board?
Certainly. I'm representing classroom teachers, and I think it's terribly important that all children in the state of Minnesota have a qualified teacher in their classroom, a highly qualified teacher in their classroom. I can't state the importance of that, I guess, enough. And so this is one avenue for me to get involved, to see that that is done.
It certainly would be. Senator Saltzman. And followed by Senator Olsen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Mr. Jarlis. I want to thank you for being here today. And while we've worked a lot on reading in this committee, math is something that we're hearing concerns about as we're changing standards, asking kids to be almost a year ahead of where they've been in the past. What would you like to contribute to the Board of Teaching to address that issue? Because I have heard from a number of teachers, again, as we've talked about that, how are we going to learn this new curriculum, implement it? What are some things that we can be doing? Any thoughts on that? Although I know our time is short, you could probably talk for an hour on this subject. But
just a job.
Okay. That's a wonderful question and concern that you have. You mentioned the new standards, the new academic standards for mathematics. And, of course, one of the new standards is algebra in eighth grade by 2011. And that's a concern that's being talked about and addressed in various ways, actually throughout the state. I am connected to the Minnesota Council of Teacher of Mathematics, and I know that that's an area that they're concerned about, that teachers are well prepared to handle that all the way up through eighth grade. I mean, we don't want to just put that on the eighth grade teacher. My guess is that they will be working together. And what that's going to look like, I don't know. If it's addressing the Board of Teaching maybe someday in terms of additional clock hours during that five-year period that we have when we renew our license, that could be a possibility. I don't know how that's going to finally shake out. I know at this point we're still waiting for those draft academic standards to be passed before anybody can really start moving on that. But I hear exactly what you're saying, and it's talked a lot about in math circles as well.
Senator Olsen, followed by Senator Stumpf.
Well, I guess I'm going to throw you a softball, and it's more like I see that you're working with after-school projects with girls in engineering, math, and science. But anybody who can teach middle school kids, I say bless you. And then to be a math teacher on top of it.
Just stir in your crown.
That's a wonderful thing.
Thank you. I enjoy it.
Senator Stumpf.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One of the areas that I think we fall short in our school systems is in kind of the hands-on learning area, you know, like applied education. I think a lot of students learn well that way. And have you got any ideas on how you might move that issue forward more, or what we as a legislative body need to do in order to move that forward? And I see many, our St. Paul school districts have picked two schools, where they're going to try to do a very aggressive approach on applied learning. And I'm wondering if you are familiar with that, or if there's some other ideas that you can share.
Mr. Jones.
Thank you. Well, in terms of mathematics, when I heard you use the word hands-on, let me address that part first and then maybe talk a little bit about the experiential maybe approach to learning. particularly in the younger years, all the way up to, I'd say, about later adolescence, 14, 15 years old, somewhere in there, in terms of mathematics and teaching mathematics and the best way to learn mathematics, the research does support the hands-on that you're actually talking about. And that has to do with where kids are at developmentally during those ages. In terms of experiential learning, it would be nice if we could all do more of that, especially when I think of mathematics, you know, with middle schoolers. That's always their biggest question. Well, why do I need to know this? You know, if we maybe worked in more, like you say, applied learning or problem-solving approaches where children could actually see where that's useful and can be applied to a real-life situation, I think they tend to buy in more, for lack of a better way to say that. I'm not familiar with the two schools that you're talking about in St. Paul, so I can't really say for certain what their philosophy is or where they're going with that. But I mean, mathematics teachers have supported exactly what you're saying for a long, long time.
Thank you.
Thank you. Further questions? Okay, and we have, I believe, one more person here, Louise Wilson, then we'll look at a motion for the remaining candidates for Board of Teaching. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ms. Wilson. And welcome to the committee. And again, please state your name for the record and provide an overview of your interest.
I too brought copies of my Vita.
Okay.
If you like them.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Louise Wilson. I am the higher ed representative to the Board of Teaching. I'm the chair of the Education Department at Bethel University in Arden Hills, just north of St. Paul. And my background is originally I earned an elementary education license and an English degree in Chicago. I have a master's degree in teaching deaf and hard of hearing from Northwestern University and taught deaf high school students for about 15 years and ran a program, a regional program for deaf and hard of hearing teenagers in the suburbs north of Chicago. My doctoral work is in cognition and learning, as well as technology and how technology enhances or how we can use technology to enhance cognition and learning. I have also an interest in how the brain works and brain-based learning. I've been at Bethel for 8 years, and in the interim, during my doctoral work and afterward, I did some work with school reform, worked with some with charter schools, but also some magnet schools in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and other parts of the country, and did some teaching at Hamline. And now I'm at Bethel. I've taught ed psych there and education technology, and I'm now chair.
Well, thank you. Questions? Senator Saltzman, followed by Senator Lynch.
And thank you, Mr. Chair, and Dr. Wilson. Thank you for being here today. We obviously have had discussions with higher education about the literacy provisions that are in the current education omnibus bill, and we feel that there's been a lot of pushback and at times some misinformation about what we're trying to do. And we haven't really come to where we feel we have support from higher ed about our efforts. But, you know, I guess that my concern is that there are people who work in different fields, and as legislators, we are not experts in many, you know, in all these areas. But we do react to what we hear from the field, what we hear from people who come to us and express great concern. And we believe that we have heard pretty strongly from some parent groups, not every parent group, but a group of parents who are really committed to this issue. But we've also heard from teachers and from principals who are very concerned that they believe that, you know, new teachers coming out of college don't always have some what they believe are pretty basic skills in reading. We are not trying to push one particular model of reading, and we've asked our council to look at our legislation 3 or 4 times now to make sure that we're not promoting one, but feeling that teachers need a broader understanding of the best practices. So there's disappointment that we understand that higher ed and the teacher colleges have really pushed back from this and are really trying to really dilute the intent of the legislation, which is say we want our teachers to be competent in these best practices. And I've heard that you're not real supportive of those efforts, and I just wondered if you could respond to that, because
you've heard that I personally
well
am.
We've heard that representatives of higher ed, including Bethel College, including all of our, you know, teacher colleges, have really resisted this and have expressed, and I have emails of opposition of things that we need to take out of this, which essentially gut the bill, gut our intent. So if
okay, I think the question, yeah, and yeah, we have just a few minutes on this part of the meeting, and then we, so.
I'm trying to get to, Professor, you know, where is higher ed at? And if you're representing higher ed, how can we work together so that we both reach the same goal?
Okay, I can answer that question, I think. First of all, having started my career teaching deaf students, I have a deep commitment to and a pretty solid knowledge base in language development and reading development, because that is the essence of teaching a child who's never heard language how to read and communicate. I don't think higher ed has any dispute with the intent. We believe very deeply in the importance of teaching our practitioners, our new teacher candidates, to be able to teach basic skills, including reading. Speaking for my own program, our students have an intensive 8-credit, what we call block, in primary literacy before, as one of their very first courses. In our pre-primary program, they're working with 3-, 4-, 5-year-olds over the course of 3 or 4 courses in not only in learning the principles and theories of language and child development, but in working in 2 preschools that we run with children. Then we have an upper elementary reading methods course as well. I think our students come out of our program extraordinarily prepared to teach not only reading, but all the other things we are preparing them to teach. And I think it's important to not forget we're also teaching them to be able to be teachers of higher order thinking skills, to be teachers of problem solving, as was brought up a little bit ago, to be able to be creative, to learn how to do inquiry, to learn how to think mathematically and scientifically, and we have to pack all that into 3 years. We really don't get our students until they're sophomores. So while we agree with you that reading is a fundamental basic skill that all of our graduates have to understand how to teach, that's the foundation for all the rest of it, we do, by not only our own beliefs about learning, but in terms of the standards that we are required to incorporate into our courses, have to cover a lot of other things. Now, let me just answer your specific question about the pushback. I think and for one thing, the Board of Teaching has its own task force working on this, so part of the pushback has been how come, and I'm new to the Board of Teaching, so I don't understand some of maybe the differences between what the board does and legislative action. But one of my questions was how come there's a bill going through when we're already working on that and have a task force? And I think a couple parents working with you were also on that task force. The other part of the pushback, frankly, is we already have over 120 standards that are incorporated into our that must be incorporated into our courses that all of our teacher candidate graduates must meet and that we have to demonstrate they've met. Every single one of those has to be demonstrated. Part of the pushback was the kind of what we felt to be considerable increase in the number of those standards specifically relating to the basic skill of reading. And frankly, our recommendation to the task force has been that they take a look at those standards and try to condense them into a more manageable number. So I don't know
Central
if that answers your question.
Mr. Chair, thank you for your response. We have monitored that process and understand the difficulty of an area that has a great deal of complexity and being able to get it in a way that will communicate accurately and clearly of what those expectations are. But I think our statutes, we have set policy in this area. It's been on the books for 8 years. And
With it has come direction to the Board of Teaching to implement the research base of following the five strands that coming from the National Reading Panel.
Right.
And the reality is that many of the people that have become active in this are ones that have found what has been delivered in the public school system wanting and have had to go elsewhere to get their children help, and they know there are others out there that are falling through the cracks. We'd like to correct that, and that's what has led us to paying more attention to what how teachers are being equipped, because we want them to be successful. And so that's I think that there needs to be an assurance. While some feel certain dimensions of those five strands are more important than others, they all are. Some need some aspects of it more than others may, based on the experience that they come to the school with. So I do. You can expect that we will continue that kind of concern, and we'll be watching to see that performance and those who are able to reach proficiency grows, because we know it's the result of good teaching.
Okay. Senator Olson, we're either going to have to lay this over or we can entertain a motion now. We have had a chance to do whatever background we wanted to personally.
Yeah.
These are the governor's recommendations, and I'll entertain a motion from you.
So, yep, Mr. Chair. And do you have any difficulty with my
Absolutely response? Not. One of my faculty members is on the task force, and 100%
okay. Well, we'll
supports those five.
We'll be, Mr. Chair, is it Dr. Wilson? I do. We will be watching, and we'll keep in touch and know that our expectations will continue to be high in this area. I would like to move that the Senate Education Committee recommend to the full Senate the confirmation of. We've moved Janet Schutz to Patricia. How many of them? Patricia DeJarlis.
Patricia DeJarlis.
Dr. Louise Wilson, Jim Bartholomew, and Anita Otten.
Is it Anita
Wilson?
No, it's Anita Otten. Somebody's got a mistype. I know her. She was here before us, and she was
okay.
Anita Otten a few weeks ago, and I suspect she still is.
Okay, on that motion, further discussion? No, it's been a very good dialogue. All in favor, indicate aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Mr.
Senate
Chairman.
Senate File 3349, and we have an A85 amendment.
No, A4 amendment.
Oh, excuse me, A4 amendment.
And has that been passed out in the interest of time? We have that.
And if someone would like, so it's procedurally in front of us, Senator Lynch moves the A4 amendment. Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. You know, I was here in front of you earlier this session with Senate File 3349, which the Senate and the House both passed, and the omnibus education bills. Unfortunately, the Conference Committee on K-12 policy did not discuss this provision in both sides of the bill and thus did not adopt it. And Senator Wieger was gracious enough to suggest that why don't we run it as a separate bill then. I had worked on a delete-all amendment of the bill because I was told by the governor's staff that he was not in favor of the previous version. So I kind of went back to the drawing board, and I looked at the existing statute, which the governor said he supported, and we looked at kind of tweaking that statute. And I consulted with Senator Roebling, who I work with a lot on higher ed issues, and we consulted with Senator Olson. And I think Senator Roebling told me she talked to Senator Hand and Senator Wergen about this. There were some House members that were also talked to. That maybe this language is going to be more acceptable, that we are wanting, and as well as to reduce the risk of sexually transmitted infections and diseases, we want ultimately to prevent pregnancies. And that's something that we can all agree on. And we want the information to be medically accurate and age-appropriate. And we want to keep the existing statute that says help students to abstain from sexual activity until marriage, but also talk about what happens in the pre-dating relationship, the dating relationship. Don't we want healthy relationships and communication? And don't we want students to take some individual responsibility? So that's what I've done to the existing statute. And I hope that the committee can support this and send this bill to the floor.
Okay, I believe Mr. Pritchard would like to testify, and then we'll take some questions from members. But Mr. Pritchard, if you...
He does. And I didn't bring in any testifiers, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Welcome, Mr. Pritchard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Tom Pritchard, President of the Minnesota Family Council, and we just have some concerns about the new proposed language. We feel it makes both the substantive changes to the existing law and really injects a degree of ambiguity into the law, which we have some concerns about. First of all, in line 1.7, it talks about to prevent pregnancies and reduce the risk. We feel that, what that does is it says now the focus is on reducing the risk of sexually transmitted infections rather than preventing. I think, frankly, the current law is ambiguous as well, but by separating prevention from sexually transmitted infectious diseases, we think that is a substantive change. Reducing is a more of a contraceptive term, and we have concerns about that.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Pritchard brings up a very good point that was unintentional. We certainly could change that language to say to prevent pregnancies and prevent and reduce. That was not an intention to take out prevent there, or maybe Senate counsel might have a better way to say that. That would be fine with me.
Counsel? At 1.7, the suggestion would be between and reduce to add prevent and.
That seems a little grammatically awkward.
And reduce?
That's okay.
Or just prevent.
You don't want to prevent pregnancies.
It's not prevent the risk. It's
the risk.
Mr. Chair. Yes, Senator.
Reduce the risk.
Mr. Chair, I might suggest that we say to prevent and reduce both pregnancies and the risk of sexually transmitted infections and diseases.
That sounds fine.
Okay, Senator Bonhoff makes that suggested amendment. Any further discussion on that? All in favor, indicate aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you for that suggestion, Mr. Pritchard.
Okay, and a concern we also have is on the language healthy relationships, contributes to healthy relationships, develop communication skills, and promotes individual responsibility. We feel that that's ambiguous language. Frankly, it's taken from a lot of the comprehensive sex education curriculums and approaches. And, you know, I think they would probably interpret individual responsibility differently than we would in terms of sexual behavior, in terms of use of contraceptives, as opposed to, we think the focus clearly has to be on abstaining until marriage. And so we have concerns about that and feel that that language needs to be tied in to the preceding language about abstinence, abstain from sexual activity until marriage, so that the intent is clear there that
Mr.
we're
Chair,
not open.
Senator Olsen.
You know, a lot of people aren't even getting married until in their 30s now. I wish you would come at this with a little bit of reality. If you don't want people to have sex till they're 35 or 40 years old, say that. I'm just frustrated with dealing with you on these issues because teen pregnancy and unplanned pregnancy is a big problem in this country, and I'm sure I would like to work with you to prevent that. But by putting your head in the sand is not going to fix the problem. There
Mr.
is a problem
Mr.
here.
Senator
Olsen.
Senator Olsen.
Whoops.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman?
Senator Olsen.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I understand your point, but we're not talking about when they get past 18 or 16 or wherever, but we're talking about what goes on within the schools. So, I'm looking at this language. Senator Pappas, would it do damage to what you're thinking? If we've got in the language of to abstain from sexual activity until marriage through healthy relationships, communication skills, and individual responsibility. So, in other words, it seems to me you've been trying, you know, good relationships that allow you to and communication that allow you to have patterns of resistance or strength to be able to stand up for your values and individual responsibility would then modify the objective of abstaining from sexual activity until marriage. Does that do great damage, and would that satisfy Mr. Pritchard?
Senator Pappas.
I think you should ask Mr. Pritchard first.
Okay. Mr. Pritchard.
Well, we believe that needs, if you're going to have that in there, it needs to be clearly articulated that you're talking about healthy relationships and individual responsibility tied in to marriage, and if that's what this language
does.
Well,
Mr. Chairman, that's what I said. It's helping students to abstain from sexual activity until marriage through healthy relationships, communication skills, and individual responsibility. Take the verbs out of there. Those are characteristics that contribute to one's being able to have strength of character and make good decisions.
Sarah Pappas.
Why don't we let Senator Lynch talk.
Senator Lynch.
Mr. Chair and Senator Pappas, I would just remind us that on line 1.14, we are talking about age-appropriate curriculum. We're not talking about sort of feel-good sort of things. We're talking about this is curriculum. So I'm not sure that I understand the intent of what Senator Olson's suggesting, but I'm not sure that's helping to describe curriculum.
Senator Pappas, did you want
disagree.
To?
Mr. Chairman, I think that makes it actually more confusing. And also, when I was talking to Chuck, I forgot his name from the Family Council.
Daryl.
Mr. Daryl from the Family Council. We had a lot of conversation about really where this is so pre-marriage. I mean, we're really talking about dating here and that young people have a healthy relationship and communicate and take some responsibility in their dating behavior. That I think it's very confusing if we continue to always tie it within the context of marriage. I mean, we're not hopefully talking about sex here. We're talking about saying no to sex. We're talking about when no means no and not maybe or yes. We're talking about respect for each other, about respect for your body, about not having abusive relationships or possessive relationships. I mean, I don't think everything actually in a relationship between a young people is about sex.
Mr. Pritchard, you'd like to conclude your testimony.
Yes, well, a couple comments. You know, I think we're viewed as unrealistic, but I think we have to look at we've got a crisis on our hands. When 1 in 4 teenage girls have an STD, the predominant message they're getting in the culture and in the sex education curricula is a contraceptive approach. Condoms do not prevent STDs. And I think we have to really focus in on it's the underlying behavior. Kids who are being sexually active. I just saw a study where less than 50% of high school kids have had sex. And we're assuming that somehow it's astronomically higher. And we've got a crisis. And so I don't think I'm being unrealistic to say we have to have a standard. And I'm afraid that this language injects more ambiguity. And I know where the comprehensive folks, sex education folks, want to go with this in terms of contraceptive education, and I think that's being unrealistic, and it's doing our kids fundamentally a disservice. And I think unless this language, as you know, Senator Olson has suggested, is tied in to that overlying absence from sexual activity until marriage language, you know, we just cannot support that.
Sarah Hand.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I guess I would tend to agree, Mr. Pritchard, with your point. I think that our goal should in the curriculum is to try to be as specific as we can, I guess. But one of the concerns I have is just are we intruding in, again, to the role that school districts, local school boards have and how they want to deal with this issue. And I know Senator Pappas, you and I have not agreed on in past on the general approach to put the comp sex ed language into a bill. But as I reviewed the language, and I did do that with Senator Roebling, it was a little bit different from the version we have here today, but one of the questions I had is what does this require school districts to do that they are not currently doing? So, I mean, in other words, if we include the language that you have indicated on lines 15 and 16, what does that mean if I'm on a school board and we have a curriculum and we're doing whatever we're doing, what will be different as a result of this language?
Mr. Chairman, I wouldn't say I was really an expert on how districts develop or review their curriculum, but I think they would look to make sure that the curriculum they're providing on STIs and diseases also has an emphasis on preventing pregnancies, that they are using information that's not just technically accurate but is medically accurate. They certainly want them to use age-appropriate information. We don't want 10th grade curriculum being taught to 7th graders. You know, it needs to be age-appropriate. I trust that the curriculum specialists can make that decision, and that it's a context of how you want to have a kind of a healthy dating experience for young people, that where they do develop respect for each other and they take individual responsibility and they clearly communicate. Mr. Chairman, I know we're under a time bind, and I think there's a grammatical error. I'm surprised Senator Olson didn't find it, because the only difference, Senator Hahn, is grammatical changes that Senator Olson made on line 18 and 19. But on line 15, shouldn't it be develops with an S?
Yes, I had corrected that on a previous one, but I didn't see it now.
Right.
Senator Olson makes that motion.
all in favor? Yes.
And Mr. Chairman?
Sir, yeah.
I guess, sir, perhaps just so the language I saw hadn't talked about unintended pregnancy, and that's why I'm saying a little bit different.
Oh, that was Senator Olson also requested
And I appreciate that. I think that makes sense. And the question I'm really centering on, the other language in here, I don't think that there's any substantial there is a difference between technically and medically and updated and age-appropriate, and I understand that. I think those things make sense. I think the concern I have is the lines 15 and 16. I think Senator Olson made a good point what this really is saying is, are we going to emphasize in our teaching and our curriculum sexual activity in the context of marriage or not? And if it's marriage that we want to emphasize, or abstention till marriage, or try to put some guidelines on this, maybe we want to tie in these other things so that that's a part of that context. And maybe the language that Senator Olson, you suggested, something along that line to me would be preferable if we're going to do this, just to make sure that we're keeping it in the context that we have today.
Mr. Chairman, and Senator Pappas, I appreciated how you were describing it, and I think that this would be saying that these are tools to restraint and abstaining from sexual activity, which is until marriage. You're saying that some of these tools of developing good, healthy relationships and a dating relationship, communication skills, and individual responsibility. Are important. They're character elements as well as the self-respect, the kinds of things that you said, that help to attain that goal that's stated ahead of time. So I don't know
Members, we only have a few more minutes, and we have to go to caucus and ready for session. Senator Rummel, and I believe there's four other hands.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I think I defer to the language and the work that Senator Pappas did on this particular article. I think she made it very clear to us, and I think it stands very beautifully that one of the intents is the abstaining from sexual activity until marriage. But as Senator Olson pointed out, there's a lot that goes on in our children's lives before they get married. And healthy relationships and dating is an important thing that students need to learn. The communication skills that promote individual responsibility. I think Senator Pappas was eloquent in saying the kinds of things, and I just finished raising a teenage daughter who's now in her 20s. It's very difficult being a teenager and not having the skills to deal in those relationships and what you say to your date and what you say when things get... So I would strongly suggest that we leave the language as Senator Pappas has presented it, because I think she has really, really worked on this and thought it through.
Mr. Chairman,
Chair Pappas.
Senator Olson, I think what you're getting at really is already in existing law. Line 14 that says the curriculum should help students to abstain from sexual activity till marriage. That's really there.
Mr. Chairman?
The line 15 and 16 are, as Senator Rummel said, they are more in that, we're not really getting into sex at all, period. They're really how we have a good relationship with another person.
Senator Olson.
Mr. Chairman, but if you said on 15 and 16, through development of healthy relationships, communication skills, and individual responsibility, those are important things to develop, just as you have said, and actually contribute to, because we haven't said we're going to force students to abstain. We're talking about helping students to abstain, and those qualities do help them to make good decisions and build toward that end. I don't see how that does damage to it.
But there may, Mr. Chairman, there actually may be more tools than just those that would help students.
Okay, members,
Mr. Chairman, you're not adding all of it. Sure, there's more tools than that, but you've selected those three, I'm not adding to it or detracting from it.
Senator Bonner.
I think I'd like to do. We have both.
Senator Bonner.
Senator, Mr. Chair, Senator Pappas, mm-hmm. I don't think that using Senator Olson's language does anything to diminish what you're trying to accomplish, and it might win the support of Mr. Pritchard and allow us to move forward, but. I leave that up to the author.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move this and see what you want to do. That on line 14, delete contributes to and insert through development of. And then after the comma, a delete develops. And at the end of the sentence, delete promotes.
The development of a healthy relationship.
On that motion, Senator Pappas.
Mr. Chairman, could we just ask Mr. Pritchard if the Family Council would then support this legislation if we accepted that amendment, which I'm not sure we should, but I'd like to hear
Mr. Pritchard.
Mr. Chair, yeah, if I guess I haven't studied this, but if this, if it, what it does is it does tie those things in to helping students abstain from sex activity, then I don't think we would object to that.
Before we vote, if could the motion be restated so it's clear?
Mr. Chairman, I missed the comma at the end of 14 should be deleted. On line 15, delete contributes to and insert through development of.
Well, I just want to make sure that that's what that does.
After the comma, delete develops, and at the end of that line, delete promotes.
Okay.
And so it would read... a comprehensive, medically accurate, and age-appropriate curriculum that includes helping students to abstain from sexual activity until marriage through development of healthy relationships, communication skills, and individual responsibility.
On that amendment, which seems to potentially reach a compromise if
Mr.
that
Chairman,
was something...
I guess I would only accept that amendment if Mr. Pritchard does.
Ms. Pritchard.
And pledges that he would then support the bill and tell the governor he supports the bill.
Good.
Well, if
and tell my mother he supports the bill.
Okay. Mr. Chair, well, if the intention is that you know, the discussion of healthy relationships, communication skills, and individual responsibility ties in mm-hmm. to promoting the absence until marriage message. We will support that. But if it's going to go beyond that to open up other stuff, then we wouldn't.
Yeah.
And that's, I guess that's my only concern from the get-go is how it's going to be interpreted by the schools. But if that's the clear, unequivocal intention, then, you know, I'm fine.
Senator Olson?
Mr. Chairman, I think this, and Mr. Pritchard, I think that this current law, the proposed changes, and particularly if you accept this amendment, I think clarifies it. But this does not change and take away the right of the district to determine how they are going to do that. And I think that was, I mean, that was an element in the original bill that was a positive one of it, but unfortunately it was tied to some things that raised an obstacle to it. But districts would be smart, and many of them do, work with their parents in developing this. These are just elements within. And so it is left to them. And I think that was a hang-up for many of us here, is that we didn't want to be laying a mandate that took away the flexibility that our local school districts would have. Many of them are already doing it, and and apparently doing it acceptably and following our laws that we have in place that parents have a right to examine curriculum and mm-hmm. they have a right to object and have their children to have an alternative without being academically penalized. So we have all of that in general
thank you,
law. Sir. So I hope that I think that this okay. language is actually an improvement okay. on existing
thank
statute.
Thank you, Senator Olson. Senator Pappas, before we vote, advice.
I guess, Mr. Chairman, I'm uncomfortable with this, so I would ask the committee not to adopt it.
Okay. All in favor of the Olson Amendment indicate aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
No.
No.
Motion does not prevail. The bill, as amended a couple of times with the A4 Amendment, now is before us. Senator Lynch moves that Senate File 3349, as amended, be recommended to pass and referred to the floor. Further discussion? All in favor, indicate aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
Aye. Motion carries. Thank you. We said motion carries. There's a division request. Okay. All in favor, raise your hand.
Bob, is your hand up?
Yeah. Seven.
Okay. And opposed.
Seven to five.
There being seven yeses, five noes, the motion does prevail. Senator Pappas, and also Representative Walker, thank you for your efforts at the legislature as well. I want to acknowledge you here. Members, there being no further business, the committee is adjourned.
Is okay with Senator